Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, coming to you live on 101.9 megahertz of cooking power. So, it's been a very exciting and interesting week. I've been playing around with a lot of milkic dishes that I'd like to share with you. And it's been quite an exciting and interesting week socially as well. So, I'll share a little bit of that with you. My husband had a school reunion, but it wasn't like that typical matric year. It was the final group of the 1969 group of primary school students at Houghton Primary. And it was absolutely amazing. People came in. I mean, so these people, I mean, think about it. They last saw each other when they were about 50 years old, about 50 years ago when they were 12 years old, because a lot of them went to different high schools and never really stayed in touch. And people came from all over the world. It was absolutely wonderful. From Australia, from Israel, from the States, from Bloberg, from Johannesburg, from everywhere. Anyway, it was great fun. They had an assembly yesterday morning and donated a wonderful sports pavilion to the school. And it was just too fantastic for everybody to get together again after 50 years. Anyway, enough about my social activities for the weekend. Now, as you know, it's Shavuot in a few days. And Shavuot and the 9 days are actually my challenges, my dairy days. 9 days are my dairy days, or my non-meat days. But actually, Shavuot isn't that bad, although I like to make milchic dishes. I'm still grateful that we can eat meat at night, because remember, it's Yontov. And as the chief rabbi said yesterday on the Chai FM, on the children's show, Chai Kids, he said, yes, you eat milk, but it's still an obligation because it's Yontov to eat meat. So, believe it or not, I sound like this is the Ripley's Believe It or Not show, but believe it or not, I do have some wonderful milkic recipes to share with you. And I think if there's one question that is asked of me time and time again, it's, Sharon, how do I make a decent white sauce? A white sauce that is not as thin as milk. Mine always comes out thin. A white sauce that's not full of lumps. Just a beautiful, velvety, smooth white sauce. Well, I'm going to share a lovely, an easy recipe for white sauce, which I turn into a Mornay sauce. Well, first I turn it into bechamel and then into Mornay, which is a cheese sauce. And there are so many beautiful recipes over Shavuot that we can use this lovely white sauce. Now, you can, as I've given you before, a Paruf's recipe. You know, some of my family are lactose intolerant, so I do make a lot of white sauces over Shavuot, keeping them non-dairy and Parov. And what I'll be doing is sharing some recipes with you where you can use white sauce. I mean, you use this cheese sauce in mac and cheese. Now, I'm going to be giving you a gourmet mac and cheese. Everybody seems to think that mac and cheese is a kid's meal. Let me tell you, every time I make mac and cheese, the family go crazy. And I can't make enough of it. So, as I was saying, there's lots of dishes. I'm going to be sharing a lovely asparagus dish with you, an open pan asparagus dish. I'm also going to be sharing crispy cheese blintzes. I'm tired of this, you know, soft cheese blintzes. These are really delicious, crispy ones. And if I've got time, I'm going to be sharing a salad or two with you. But off the break, I'll come back with the cheese sauce.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
In these challenging times, many people are under pressure, and for some, it can all become too much. So who does one turn to? High FM will be starting a helpline later this year, and we are looking for compassionate, caring volunteers to train as call center counselors. If you have a background or an interest in counseling and you want to find out more, email helpline@chaifm.com. Chai FM 101.9 megahertz of serving the community. So just before the break, I was chatting about sauces, white sauces, bechamel sauces, cheese sauces, and all the different things that you can use it in. I mean, you can use it in lasagnas, macaroni cheese, cauliflower, broccoli cheese, savory blintzes, tuna blintzes covered in a delicious, creamy, velvety cheese sauce or mushroom sauce, eggplant parmigiana, baked potatoes smothered in cheese and mushroom sauce, or even tuna. You can make a lovely potato bake with a cheese sauce. You can do fish mornay. You can have a cheese fondue. I believe fondues are coming back into fashion. I don't know. I think I gave mine away about 30 years ago. Spinach and ricotta cannelloni. I mean, you just buy those lovely tubes in the pasta department at your supermarket, fill them with spinach and ricotta and just cover it in a beautiful cheese sauce. You can do a French pizza loaf, so to speak. And you can put anchovy paste at the bottom, a little bit of cheese sauce, some olives, and everything that you would add to a pizza. That's actually quite interesting, done in a French loaf. I'm getting very hungry. Okay, so the first thing I do when Shavuot is around the corner is make a bulk cheese sauce. I make bulk white sauce and then I add cheese sauce, and I'm going to give you my bulk recipe. So this actually sees me through the whole of Shavuot and probably most of the 9 days. I probably toss in a cheesecake and a milk tart as well for breakfast, but the lunches or the starters actually to my yontif meals at night are normally milchik. So I serve probably a milchik soup before, or some blintzes in a sauce before. Just have a little break, have a nice cold drink, a drink, and then we go into the dining room for our meat meal. So let's get down to our wonderful cheese sauce. Now, yesterday I actually made my bulk cheese sauce and I used it for tuna blintzes and made a wonderful velvety macaroni, gourmet macaroni cheese, which I promise you will go. It's not just for kids. This is especially for adults. Penne arrabbiata with a light creamy cheese sauce and a little bit of chili in it, a little bit of arrabbiata sauce. I made an onion and cauliflower stuffed blintzes with a creamy mushroom and cheese sauce. And before I forget, a fettuccine alfredo, which I will share I'll share that recipe with you. But let's start with the roux. Now, firstly, it's all about the roux. Okay, so what is the roux? Basically, it's a thickening agent, and it's one of the key ingredients to making a lovely thick sauce. Okay, now, most important is that you need a whisk. It is a very, very important. And my friend Sharon Glass, I think she was asked once, what is the most important thing? What is something that you would never do without in the kitchen? And she said her whisk. And it's so true. So the roux that we're making today is going to be used to make a bechamel sauce. And then I'll add cheese and it'll become a mornay sauce, a cheese sauce. And if there's one thing that you have to master, it is this bechamel sauce for all cooking. So because it's Shavuot, we're going to be doing it, and we're going to go the milchik route. And basically, we're going to start off with the roux. Okay, so we need a nice pot, a heavy-based pot. And roux is flour and fat cooked together, and it's used to thicken sauces or soups or whatever. And roux is typically made from equal parts of fat and flour. So if you've got 2 tablespoons of fat, 2 tablespoons of flour. That's not actually my bulk recipe I'll give you. It's really is easy and you can freeze it. If you find that it's a bit too much, freeze it and you can use it later on something else. So what we do is we place the, fat, which is, I'm using butter, and there's nothing nicer than the taste of real butter and real cream, 100% milk. It's just very special. It just makes it more velvety. So what we do is we melt the butter on the stove. Now, what I've done is I'm going to do a bulk one. So I took 250 grams of butter. That's a block of butter, melted it, and then I added my flour. Now, you don't want to burn it. You just want it over low heat so that the butter melts. You burn it, it's going to ruin your sauce. And in fact, what you can do is, I mean, theoretically, there are different kinds of roux. You've got the white roux, you've got a blonde roux, and you've got a brown roux. And it depends on how long you leave it to cook on the stove. So if you're doing 3 to 4 minutes, you'd have a white roux. Okay. What you do is you put 250 grams of butter into the pot. When it's melted, take it off the stove and you add, before you take it off the stove, you add 1 cup of rounded sifted flour. Okay, so you've got your 250 grams of butter, which you're going to melt in quite a deep, big pot, because remember we're cooking a bulk pot of white sauce. And then you're going to add your sifted flour and you're going to stir it with your whisk for about 3 to 4 minutes, just to sort of cook the flour out, so to speak. If you leave it longer, for about 4 to 6 minutes, it becomes a blonde roux. 6 to 8 minutes becomes a darker brown roux. That would probably go into something like, if you were using non-dairy margarine, you'd put it into a stew or something like that, something dark, a darker dish. But because we want a lovely white sauce, we're just going to let it go for about 3 to 4 minutes, whisking it all the time. Then you remove it from the stove. And in total, you're going to add 2 liters of milk. But to start off with, add 2 cups of milk. So you add 2 cups of milk to the melted butter and flour and whisk it together until you form a nice paste and all the little bits of the flour and fat have melted into the milk. Put it back on the stove, whisk it, and it should become smooth and very thick, and then take it off the stove and you add the rest of the milk, which is about 2 liters. Now, if you want to go the power of root, just remember that you need to use 2 liters of liquid. So I would use 1 liter of water, and I like to combine coconut milk and Oli Whip together and a little bit of soya milk so that it's the unsweetened soya milk so that it's nice and creamy, and I add 1 tablespoon of chicken stock. You can add vegetable stock if you want, just to sort of bring it all together. Okay, so now we've added our milk. Keep whisking. And when it all comes together, carry on whisking it for about 2 to 3 minutes and it will start to thicken up. Now you can halve this recipe if you want to. But as I say, I just like doing it in bulk so that I don't have to do it again. And I just cover my blintzes, cover my pasta, cover whatever I can with it. And, I also add to it 1 teaspoon of mustard powder. So whisk that all together and set it aside and you should have a lovely thick white sauce. After the break, we'll come back with a couple of recipes.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Right, so we are talking about lovely white sauces and cheese sauces and all the sauces in the world that you can think of that can go over Well, just about any milk dish. We can use a cheese sauce. As I was saying before the break, I'll just quickly run through the recipe again. This is a big recipe, but you can freeze it and just take it out and use it whenever you want to. It's wonderful to have on hand. It's 250 grams of butter, melted. Then you add the flour, 1 cup of sifted flour. Whisk it all together. Then you add 2 cups of milk. Whisk that, and then until it's smooth, and then you finally add the rest of your 2 liters of milk. So in total, you're going to be using 2 liters of milk. The 2 cups must come off the 2 liters. And you can add a teaspoon of mustard powder to that. It just gives it a lovely flavor. Salt and pepper. And if you want to, a little bit of nutmeg. Then, of course, we add our cheese, which is, for this amount, I used about 400 to 500 grams of grated cheese. Now, you can use different kinds of cheese. Of course, the most important one to use would be a cheddar. Now, as I said, I'm going to come back to you with a recipe for my gourmet macaroni. So, here goes. You need 500 grams of macaroni pasta. Now, before I start, somebody asked on Kosher Foodies or something for a very simple recipe for macaroni cheese. So I thought, let me have a look on the internet. And I went onto YouTube and I had a look at some. And I think she asked for something which is simple enough that didn't have to have a white sauce. And I found something where you just beat the eggs and the milk together and you do layers of macaroni cheese, macaroni cheese, and layer it, and then finally you just pour in, I think it was 1 liter of milk, mixed with 3 eggs. Now, I made it, but to me it wasn't macaroni cheese, it tasted more like a scrambled egg something. So, I'm going to give you the recipe for our wonderful gourmet, smooth, velvety macaroni cheese. As I said, to this, actually what I added was smoked salmon bits, cream, parsley. You can add whatever you want really, but here goes with the recipe. 500 grams of macaroni pasta, 125 grams of butter, 1/2 to 3/4 cup of flour, 1/2 teaspoon of mustard powder, and then you would probably need about 1 liter, plus keep 1 cup of milk on the side, 1 cup of cream, a 250-gram tub of creme fraiche, and about 3 cups of grated cheddar. Now, I mixed it a little bit. I put a little bit of gouda, a little bit of cheddar. Whatever your heart desires, go to the cheese section and just go crazy. You can never put enough cheese in. And this recipe actually also calls for the Blue Rock cheese. You know that the cheese which is sort of in a triangle shape and it's got the sort of blue veins running through, like a Roquefort kind of cheese. Fairview do it, and Woolworths have actually got a kosher one as well. And a little bit of salt and pepper. What you do is also keep aside 1 cup of maybe pecorino, or if you can get Parmesan cheese, that's also lovely to go on top. And you can sprinkle some crumbs, some sour bread dough crumbs on top with a little bit of paprika. So that's really sort of zhuzhing up our mac and cheese. So you cook the pasta as per the instructions on the packet, and you bring the water to a boil, and you add the macaroni, put a bit of salt in. I don't put oil in because my mother always used to say oil doesn't allow the macaroni or the pasta to really absorb the water and cook it quickly. So you want it to have just a little chew in it without being too soggy, because remember, you're going to be putting it into, you're going to be baking it into the, in the oven. So just cook it just to al dente. Then what you do is, in the meantime, while that's boiling, you can, in a saucepan, you can melt the butter over medium heat and add the flour, the mustard powder, mix it all together until it comes together sort of as a softish kind of ball. And then you add the milk, mix it well, whisk it, and just get rid of any signs of lumps. As long as you have that hand whisk, you're good to go. And then once you've added the milk, whisk it, place it back on the heat, slowly bring it to the boil, whisking it all the time. It's very important, as I said, to keep it lump free. And that's how you're going to keep it lump free with a whisk, not a beater, a whisk. Then you reduce the heat of the milk and flour and butter mixture. Reduce the heat and slowly add the cheese, the cream, the creme fraiche, salt and pepper to taste. Always taste, check for salt and pepper after you've added the cheeses, because the cheeses can be rather salty. So you want to check that after you've added the cheeses. And then you just keep stirring until all the cheese melts into the sauce. And the consistency of the sauce should be just a little thinner than a nice thick yogurt. And then what I did was finally I added the smoked salmon. I put the macaroni into a rectangular baking dish. It must only go to about halfway, because remember, you're going to add the cheese sauce to it now. So that will like raise the level of the macaroni. And sprinkle the grated cheese, your sour bread, dough crumbles on top. Just make sure that they're very small, because otherwise they won't cook through, and then the breadcrumbs will be a bit stodgy. So you want them really fine. In fact, grate them if you can. And they can be stale, even better. And you sprinkle it with a cup of grated cheese and keep that extra bit of sauce if you want to on the side. Because sometimes what happens is, remember that the pasta is going to absorb quite a lot of the sauce when it cooks. So whatever you do, add as much sauce as you can. That's the secret. It's got to be really saucy. Now, I wouldn't bake it at this point if you're going to freeze it. If you're going to freeze it, cover it at this point, put it in the freezer, and then take it out on the day that you want to cook it, and that's when you stick it in the oven. Because cooking it dries it out a hell of a lot, and it doesn't have that lovely, smooth, velvety finish to it. Okay, so now, as promised, we are going to do, just to change the subject from a creamy sauce, we're going to do an open asparagus tart. Now, what you'll need for this recipe is a flat baking tray, baking sheet, you know, one that you'd make a Swiss roll on, just about 20 centimeters, about 26 centimeters. You need a roll of puff pastry, which you can get in the freezer section of your supermarket. And you will need 2 cups of the cheese sauce that we made earlier, that I said we can put onto basically anything. Or if you haven't made the cheese sauce and you really want to make this open asparagus tart, then all you have to do is you take a tub of cream cheese, 250 grams of cream cheese, and you mix it with 200 grams of grated cheddar cheese and 2 egg yolks. Not the whites, just the yolks. And you'll also need 2 bottles of the long asparagus. I use the Staines bottled ones. You'll need salt and pepper to taste. And preheat your oven to 400. Yes, it's quite high, but it's important. Pastry should actually be cooked in quite a high oven. So we're going to take out your pastry sheet, and you line the baking sheet with parchment paper or that white baking paper. And then you're going to roll out your pastry, ensuring that it's as long as the baking sheet, and loosely place it sort of loosely into the lined baking sheet and cover it with another piece of parchment paper, because we want to actually bake the pastry before adding the cheese ingredients and the asparagus. So what you do is you put the pastry onto the parchment paper. I like to actually keep a little bit of the pastry aside because I like to line the sides. I like to add a strip of pastry to the outer edges of the pie, pie sheet. You don't have to, but you it looks lovely. It actually gives it a little ridge. So then what I did is I put another piece of lined baking paper over the top of the pastry. And then you blind bake it. Okay, so it's not, we're not baking it blindfolded, no. Sometimes it's called pre-baking. But the process that we are going to use is we're going to put some beans, dry beans. Just get ordinary dry beans. I mean, you can get pastry weights as well. But this is just to help us keep the pastry flat so that it doesn't rise and it doesn't shrink. Okay, now remember I said to you that you must put the pastry loosely into the lined baking sheet because you don't sort of push it out to the edges because you don't want it to be to shrink too much from the sides. Okay, and then we blind bake it for about, I'd say about 10, 15 minutes on four, because remember that it's on 400, so it's quite high. And this recipe, so it's about in our ovens, it's about 220. And this recipe actually needs to be partially baked. The pastry needs to be partially baked. Otherwise, it becomes soggy once you add the ingredients and doesn't cook, the pastry doesn't get lovely and crispy. So then, as I say, you've baked it until it's just lightly golden because you don't want the edges to burn. And then we fill it. Okay. So you place the filling, either the cheese sauce or the cream cheese and grated cheese on top of the pastry, which is just let it cool a little bit because you don't want the cheese and all that to melt into the base. And then you drain your asparagus and you place it on top in rows, just going down longitudinally, and then sprinkle a little bit more cheese on top. You can put some parmesan if you want to. If you want, you can add a couple of olives to it if you like olives, and bake it for about another 20 to 25 minutes. And there you have a lovely, simple open asparagus tart. And you don't have to worry about it being too runny because it's open and flat, it tends to bake a lot more firmer, so to speak. Okay, so now we're going to come back with a couple more recipes for you. I've got that lovely blintzer recipe for you. I've got the broccoli and cauliflower mushroom blintzers for you. Okay, after this song break, we will come back with a couple more recipes.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
You're tuned into the Essen Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, coming to you live on 101.9 megahertz of cooking power, and we are talking Shavuot. So I've been sharing a couple of white sauce recipes due to popular demand for these for the cheese sauce and white sauce recipes, and we are now going to be talking blintzers. So we are going to do broccoli, cauliflower, and or tuna mushroom blintzers. What I did was, I have to admit, I go down to Sandringham Spa and I get their blintzers. But sometimes I have to make gluten-free blintzers, so I make those myself. But wherever you can get blintzers ready-made, it just makes it so much easier. But if you can't, if you want to make your own blintzers, then all you need is 3 large eggs, a cup of milk, 2 teaspoons of vegetable oil, plus a little bit of oil for frying the blintzers, 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt, and 3/4 of a cup of sifted all-purpose flour. So 3/4 flour, 3/4 of a cup flour, 3/4 of a teaspoon kosher salt, 2 teaspoons of vegetable oil, 1 cup of milk, and 3 large eggs. That's it. And you just fry them really thin, and then you sort of lift them and shuffle the pan around, because you really want them to almost be see-through so that you can read the newspaper through them. Okay, so you will need about 400 to 500 grated cauliflower. Now, I got my cauliflower stems from Fresh Fillers and broccoli stems from Fresh Fillers, and I just steamed them and let them cool a bit. I added a tub of creamed cottage cheese. Must be the nice creamed one, not the fat-free. It could get a bit not as delicious. and 2 egg yolks. Mixed them all together. And then I placed about 1 to 2 tablespoons, depending on how big your blintzes are, into the blintzes. Fold them up and put them into a roasting pan, a rectangular oven-proof dish. And then if you made the sauce, if you got the recipe earlier, 2 cups of cheese sauce from the big batch of cheese. So you see, you will be using quite a bit of cheese. If you're going to, between your blintzes and your macaroni and your asparagus tart, you're going to use up all that cheese sauce, believe me. So you'll take 2 cups of cheese sauce from the batch of the cheese sauce that we made earlier. And you can, if you want, you can add a tin of mushrooms, drained mushrooms, to the cheese sauce. And you just pour it over your blintzes. If you want to, you can put 3 cups of cheese sauce over your blintzes, depending on how many you made. But this was for, I think it was for 8 blintzes. Sorry, it was for 8 blintzes. Got it written down. Okay, so what I did was I chopped 1 onion in a little oil until it was soft. I removed it from the heat. I added the boiled cauliflower, or if you want to use broccoli, or if you want to use tuna, you add that to the onions and mix it together. And then you add the cream cheese and the lightly beaten egg yolks, not the whites, just the yolks, until it's well combined, and then taste it. It will need salt and pepper. And that's it. And it's as easy as that. So that's now I've got a fettuccine recipe, fettuccine Alfredo, which apparently I shared it on Time Matters. I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago I interviewed Debbie Utian from Time Matters, and she makes up the parcels, the packages of you have to cook them meals, but she supplies, gives you all the ingredients, and it's a wonderful thing for busy ladies. You can go onto her site at timematters.co.za. Now, this apparently was a big hit. Fettuccine Alfredo. So some say that real fettuccine Alfredo should never include cream. The silky sauce is the result of an emulsion between the grated cheese, the melted butter, and the starchy water that the pasta was cooked in. However, this is my version. And I've added the cream and mushrooms too. So you need 500 grams of fettuccine pasta, 125 grams of butter, 2 tablespoons olive oil, 1 to 2 teaspoons of crushed fresh garlic. Now, I love garlic, so I can put in a tablespoon of garlic. But, you know, it all depends on whether you like garlic or not. Although fettuccine should have quite a bit of garlic in it. You'll also need 400 to 500 grams of mushrooms. And if mushrooms aren't your thing, then just leave them out. You'll need 35 grams of flat-leaf Italian parsley, finely chopped. 500 mils of cream. Yeah, it's a shove what we can have. Cream will go on diet on Tuesday. 3/4 cup of Parmesan cheese or similar. Sometimes it's difficult to find kosher Parmesan cheese. So you can use pecorino and mix it with a bit of cheddar and a strong cheddar. And then just keep a little bit of cheese for the top to sprinkle over the top when you've finished. You will need about 1 1/2 to 1 3/4 cup of cheese. You cook the pasta in a large pot of boiling water, stirring occasionally until it's al dente. You just follow the instructions on the packet. As I said, I don't add the oil, but You just cook it and drain it immediately. As soon as you finished, I think it, maybe it's about 10 minutes or so, take it out, but drain the liquid off, but set aside 2 cups of the pasta cooking liquid, as you may want to add it to the sauce later. Meanwhile, place the butter and the oil into a large frying pan and you cook the garlic. You cook it, the garlic, over low heat until it's soft and until it almost dissolves into the butter and the oil. And the garlic is a very important ingredient in this dish. You don't want it to burn. Okay, then you add the mushrooms and the parsley, and you cook those until they're soft and most of the water is evaporated out of the mushrooms, because mushrooms give off quite a bit of water, so you want that to evaporate. Then you add the cream and you just keep whisking as you add the cream, and you bring the sauce just to a slow simmer. Then you add the cheese to the cream and the mushroom sauce, whisking it all the time. And you don't want this to be a thick sauce. This is just a lovely sort of liquid over the pasta. Add the cheese to the cream and the mushroom sauce and whisking it all the time. And when the cheese is melted into the sauce, you add the drained pasta, which is cooked by now. And whilst the sauce is still over low to medium heat on the stove. So you add the pasta and you just cook it through and you stir it carefully to ensure that all the pasta is coated. Now, if you feel the sauce is too thick and it's sort of not distributing evenly, just add a little bit of the reserve pasta water. And the pasta water is the only liquid you should use in this pasta dish, as it contains all those lovely starches from the pasta. So other than the cream, which I've used, don't just add regular water. Add that pasta water, because that really gives it a lovely, velvety, smooth finish. And you don't want it too watery, though. So that's our fettuccine Alfredo. So I've given you quite a few ideas. Don't forget, we've got to make that bulk cheese sauce to get all these wonderful dishes. Now, a friend of mine actually said how it all started was, a friend of mine contacted me and she said she's doing a post-shul brocha stroke lunch, brunch kind of thing, depending on how late shul finishes, on first day. And she wanted something light because supper time's normally a lot heavier. So I said to her, okay, so do bagels, dips and decadent desserts. So what she's doing is buying obviously a whole lot of bagels, and she'll freeze them and then take them out, warm them up. And she's doing boiled an egg mayonnaise and fried onions. So what she's actually doing is all these lovely bagels, and I think she's buying a couple of other breads and things, and she's making all these dips along the table, running from the one side to the other. Lovely dishes, and she's putting in them the boiled egg, mayonnaise, and avo, and she's doing a tuna mayonnaise dip, and a snook pate dip. I mean, half these things you can buy ready made. She's also doing, she's going to do a whole sort of smoked salmon, and people can help themselves, cream cheese and smoked salmon, and then she's doing a feta, cream cheese, and anchovy paste, all combined. That's another dip. The onion soup and cream cheese dip, everybody knows that. It's 2 tablespoons of onion soup mixed in some cream cheese. I think she's doing a bowl of chopped herring. I mean, you can do all these wonderful things and just serve them with bagels. But the secret is the decadent desserts. So I don't have time to give you all the recipes for these decadent desserts. I am going to share the cheese blintzes, the crispy cheese blintzes with you. But you can serve cheesecakes and milk tarts and peppy crisp puddings and so many different things with these bagels. So if they think that they're still a little hungry after the bagels, just tell them to wait for those beautiful decadent desserts. Okay, after the break, I'll come back to you with the crispy cheese blintzes.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. We are talking Shavuot, we're talking milk recipes, and we are now going to, I'm going to share a lovely crispy phyllo cheese blintzer with you. So after all those lovely soft blintzers that we're probably going to be eating, there's nothing more delicious than a crispy phyllo cheese blintzer, which I started making a few years ago, and they're so popular that I had to share it with you again. So you need one packet of store-bought phyllo pastry. You need 250 grams of cream cheese. If you're going to double up, you'd need, which you probably will, you'll need 500 grams, but a really a nice, good quality cream cheese. You can all, and you'd also need to add to that for your filling a quarter of a cup of sugar and two egg yolks. Now you can use spray and cook to keep the pastry moist while you're rolling them up, or you can paint them with butter. There's something very delicious about butter and phyllo pastry. And then you also need a cup of heavy whipping cream and a teaspoon of vanilla and a quarter of a cup of icing sugar to serve with the phyllo blintzers. So let's see how we're going to do this. We're going to take our phyllo dough, unroll it. Now, I think they're about 12 sheets, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, what you're going to do is you're going to fold each sheet in half, cut it, and then in half again. So each sheet you'll be cutting into a quarter. And spray each sheet as you cut them, and then keep the rest of the phyllo pastry aside under a damp cloth so it doesn't dry out and get, you know, crispy edges. And then what you do is you take the four pieces of the phyllo pastry and you butter each one. And then in the middle, you put your mixture, which is your cream cheese, a quarter of a cup of sugar, a teaspoon of vanilla, and the two egg yolks. Mix that all together and you spoon about 3 to 4 teaspoons of filling. You'll see. Sometimes if I make them really big, what I do is we've taken the piece of sheet of phyllo pastry, we've cut it into four. Sometimes I use four of the pieces. Sometimes I just do two, and I put about 2 or 3 teaspoons of the filling and then just roll it up. And two pieces should be enough, because you're going to just tuck them in and roll them up and put them onto a greased cookie sheet with a seam down. And just place each one onto the sheet, covering it as you place them on, and then you put them into a preheated oven, about 350 degrees, and you cook them until they're golden brown. So we don't even have to fry them. So they're lovely, they're healthy, lovely, crispy phyllo blintzers. And I would cook them for about 15-20 minutes, and then remove them. You can allow them to cool, and in another bowl, just beat up the heavy whipping cream with the icing sugar and the vanilla essence. And then just when you're ready to serve them, just put a blob of cream on top of each blintzer. But remember, they must be crispy, so try and eat them as soon as possible. Well, I think I've covered enough for Shavuot. There's enough for you to eat. And remember that you still have to have meat because it's Yom Tov. And if there are any, do I have time to share one more recipe? One more salad recipe? Okay, I've got a quick, I'll talk fast, because I did find a lovely salad recipe. Let me find it now. Okay, it's the Avo watercress and baby spinach salad, and you can serve these. They're lovely with the blintzers. It's lovely and fresh, a lovely fresh crispy salad. And what you do is you make up the dressing first. You get the blue cheese that I spoke about before, which is in a triangle, the Fairview blue cheese. You get, I think it's called Rock Blue, I said. You take 1 cup of mayonnaise and a bottle of Greek salad dressing, and you mix it all together with the blue cheese. And you know how you can get the feta, it's in those round discs. You'll need about 2 of those round discs, and you just blend that all together in your food processor, or you can mash it if you don't have a milk food processor. And then what you do is you arrange some watercress and baby spinach on a platter, put some avocado on top, and then sprinkle. You can add a little bit of smoked salmon if you want to it, some artichoke hearts, some capers, some olives. It's a versatile salad. Add whatever you want to it. But the most important thing is the salad dressing, which is your blue cheese, mayonnaise, Greek salad dressing, and some crumbled Woolies feta. Okay, so, well, it's time for me to wrap up. I've gone over my mark. Have a wonderful Shavuot. And for those that listen to my show, you're more than welcome to come to my launch, which is on launch of my new book, A Taste of South Africa, with the Kosher Butcher's Wife, on Wednesday night at Glen Hazel, Nussbaum's Glen Hazel, at 6 o'clock. So with that, I bid you farewell, have a good Yom Tov, and remember, it's eaten meat that makes a show complete.